Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Welcome back. We are so excited to share another story with everyone who's listening. It has been an honor to sit with people and just talk about hearing God's voice and what God's voice sounds like, just the sweet things that God says to His people. To get to hear those stories is incredible and fun. So I am excited to introduce all of you to my friend, Sarah Lara. Am I saying that right? Lara?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, that's a fun name. It rhymes.
It is.
But it could be different than that. Sarah Lara and I met at the Hills Women through a program called Navigating Life years ago. And we were instantly bonded because she's the mother of twins. And if you know me, I'm a twin. But also, just as we came to know one another, it was just fun to hear about how God had been working in our lives all these years. I'm not going to tell you our ages, but we're very close in age. So, Sarah, I just was hoping that you would introduce yourself to those who are listening and maybe just tell us a little bit about who you are and where you grew. Let's start with who you are and where you grew up.
Okay. Yeah. So again, my name's Sarah Lara. Yeah. And my family and I, we've been attending the Hills for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. My husband is Ben, and I do. You're right. I have twin daughters, Carly and Josie.
How old are they now?
They are 22.
So that ages us a little bit.
Yes, just a little. But anyway, we've lived in DFW all my life, or I've lived in DFW all my life. My family, we love to be active, whether it's sports or just hitting the gym. And then we really cherish togetherness and making memories.
I love that. So the four of you.
Yes.
That's your family.
And Carly's married, and Josie's at PT school, Hardin Simmons.
So now you have a son.
I do. Yes. Yes. Carly married Blake, and he is absolutely wonderful. He's everything we could have possibly imagined.
I love that. Yes. I love that. And I mean, he married a twin, so he's in for a ride.
Yeah.
Would you say, before we kind of get started too much into your story, is there a scripture that has anchored you in your walk with the Lord?
Yes, there's many. I would probably say my go-to is Psalm 16:8 that says, I've always set the Lord before me, or because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And it's just, it's a fact. And
so how does that help you sometimes? Like, do you ever close your eyes and imagine it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it says, because I have set the Lord beside me. So in other words, it's almost like I picked Him up, but you know, it was an act on my part to accept the Lord.
A choice.
It was a choice. And so because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And so, yeah, there's, I think just because of my past and other things that just really comforts me.
Yeah. It's a choice and a promise.
It is.
That's what I hear in that verse. So thank you for sharing that. And I asked you to be here today because you had shared a lot of your story in one of our Bible study groups on a Wednesday night. And I know it impacted me. And I was really excited that you said yes to this today, because really the only question was, are you willing to share a time when you heard God's voice? And so where do you want to start in this story, Sarah? Do you want to go all the way back to the beginning from childhood, or do you want to?
Yeah, well, I can touch on a few things.
Okay.
That way it kind of, I feel like when it comes to hearing God's voice, it's good if I tell a little bit at the beginning and the middle.
Yep.
And where I am today. I feel like my story with Christ is unique. I grew up in a Christian home, but there was a lot of drama, a lot of emotional and mental abuse. And as a young child, that abuse and loneliness drew me towards Christ.
Did you have siblings?
Yes, I did. I had
so
one.
So where are you in the birth order of this
family? I'm the
family.
Oldest. And then I have a brother 3.5 years younger.
Okay.
Okay. And he's a music minister in Mississippi. So
how fun is
he
that?
He comes back to DFW quite often. He loves home. But one of the things I appreciated learning about Christ as a young child who was experiencing loneliness and whatnot was that Christ is kind yet superior. Mm. He's my Lord, but he's also gentle. And I couldn't fathom, Barbara, is he loved me enough to take the penalty of all my sins and all of my hurts. Mm-hmm. And he died on a cross for me. Mm-hmm. And even as a young child, I can just remember that just blowing me away. And so as far as hearing God's voice, I heard him in my heart as a voice of comfort and encouragement, despite my circumstances.
Wow.
I knew that making good choices pleased him. And again, my go-to scripture was Psalm 16:8. And there's a song by Selah, or is it Selah? Selah, that references Psalms 32:7,
okay.
Which it says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
Do you want to hear something really cool about that praise band, which they are from our generation?
They're amazing.
So we had a conference speaker here a couple years ago, Angie Smith. I don't know if you were here, but her husband sings, Todd Smith sings in the band.
Yes.
And one of my volunteers sees him in the lobby and she like starts bawling because she was saved at a Selah concert.
Oh my goodness.
And so here she is volunteering at the Hills Church all these years later. And I mean, it's just really sweet how the Lord weaves things and uses things that you can look back now and go, how comforting that was. But then you can also see kind of how he's used it. So it's just really sweet to know that that's how he was revealing himself to you as a kid.
Well,
but you just said a second ago, you just said, as a kid, I knew that when I did something right, it pleased him.
Yes.
I want you to unpack that for me, because why do you?
Well, again, having mental and emotional abuse, it just seemed like I was critiqued growing up.
Okay.
And, you know, it's weird even talking about it now, because I can still kind of feel that pain, that heaviness, even though, you know, there's been a lot of healing. But knowing that Jesus was kind and compassionate and learning all the Bible stories about Jesus, I knew that that pleased him because that's what he did. So I would be kind and compassionate. And I would literally come home from school and go and talk to him privately and tell him what I did. Like the teacher dropped her cup and I picked it up. I shared with the Lord things I thought would please him. Because if I told other people.
How old are you at
eight,
this time?
Eight, seven,
think?
Six.
That's incredible.
Five. Yeah, I can remember very, very young. And, you know, in that verse, Psalms 32:7, you are my hiding place. I actually had a hiding place.
Tell us about that.
It was in the back of my house, and it's just a place that I would go. It was a real grassy area, and I would just lay on my back and just rub the grass with my hands, kind of go back and forth. And that's where I would share my day with him. I didn't even know at that young age that there was a scripture that said, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
That's
and
beautiful.
I was actually living that out as a young child, and I didn't even know that. Scripture existed.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You had shared with me that there was a phrase that you used oftentimes to start your conversation with the Lord.
Yes. Well,
right.
Yes. Well, again, I talked to him quite a bit, but we would talk about the weather.
Okay.
You know, I would say, or, you know, feel like, or I would tell him, because he made the day. I was like, you made such a beautiful day, you know, or the grass is pretty. And I was just very in tune with his creation and things around me. So,
which is incredible at such a young age.
At such a young age, yeah. Very simple minded.
But it didn't always stay that way.
No, unfortunately, yeah. By the time I was a late teenager, I had been lured into the world and committed a lot of sins and disappointed a lot of people. And that happened for about 10 years from, I would say, the age of 17 to 27. But here was what was interesting, because I had had that strong bond with the Lord. I still believed in Jesus, but it was my pride that had convinced me that I needed to be in control and do things my way. Because as a young girl, I thought, oh, I'm good. You know, as a young girl, I confessed Jesus with my mouth and I was baptized. So I felt like I was in good standings. So I thought, okay, check. I got my ticket into heaven. But now I was so wronged by so many people. And finally, all of that critique and criticism had caught up with me that I was just, I got to do my own thing.
So you wanted to take control.
Yes. And I did. And it was a disaster.
Well, and maybe even, I mean, in our human attempt to put up walls or barriers to not be hurt again.
Yes. Well, that's what I meant by I'm in control. And I even remember telling the Lord, I'm still a nice person. I'm still a good person. Yeah. And I was. I mean, I'd still help the elderly lady and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was going to live the way I wanted. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we all want the benefits of Daddy God, but I wasn't making Jesus my Lord. I wasn't surrendering to his
lordship. Were you still talking to him, would you say?
Very little.
Okay.
Very, very. It was just right off the cuff, you know. But yeah, he was in the background. Like I said, I thought I had my ticket, so I'm good. But there was no live wire. Like I had disconnected that communication piece.
Yeah. So what do you want to tell us about that season? What was it like?
Well, you know, it was horrific. It was, like I said, 10 years of just bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Just a lot of heartache. And after getting married a second time and I had my twins.
Were y'all planning to start a family?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so having twins, that was a surprise to you though?
No. We kind of had to work at that.
Okay. Okay.
So they weren't natural.
Okay.
If we put it that way.
They're miracles.
They are still miracle. Absolutely. They are the love and the joy of my life. So. If they are hearing this, they already know that. So I don't have to say it again.
But we can tell them again. Hello, Carly. Hello, Josie.
Mama loves you. but, you know, it was around the time they were two that I yearned for that innocent relationship with Jesus. Yet at this point, 10 years into the game of being away from him, I was extremely ashamed. Nor did I think I could ever be good enough to be his daughter again. Why? Because I knew that what I had done all those years was wrong. So.
Well, and I'm going to just keep kind of circling back to this. You and I have not talked about this in detail, but there somewhere there was a foundation of, if I please him, he'll delight in me.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way. But yeah, that's where that guilt and shame was. I never thought of it that way till you just said this.
And what I mean, I'm not trying to get to the end of the story yet, but what I know to be true is that he delights in you, period.
Yes, you're right. I know that now. I know that now. And I know that that door, like the prodigal son, he was just standing there waiting. But I wasn't, I think, yeah, it was all me. It wasn't him. It was me. And I got that.
And he's so good and he's so patient that it doesn't matter if it took 1 year or 10 years or
exactly
30 years. Like, I'm glad it didn't take 30 years.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but it also tells us a little bit about him, that he is patient and that he's kind, that he's loving. And, yeah, that he delights in you. And so, yeah. So what then changed for you? I mean, how did you, I think this is going to be very impactful for somebody who's listening right now. because you just described how you felt, like, I can't get back there. I can't get back to that intimate relationship with him because of fill in the blank. What changed for you? How did that shift? Because that's not where you are today.
Well, my husband and I, at the time, we weren't, you know, following, like, we weren't going to church. We weren't.
Was he raised in a Christian home?
Ben was raised in a Christian home, but he kind of chose a Catholic route.
Okay.
And kind of much like me, it was just kind of, you know, just checking the boxes. Mm-hmm. But there was no, I keep calling it a live wire, but mm-hmm. there was no real connection with Jesus. But long story short, he became born again. And his mother helped him with that. And there was this huge, beautiful transformation in him. His story is a little interesting in that he didn't know the story about the blind man. But he had actually said to me, I feel like I can see. I didn't realize I was blind. And then he heard that story and it was like, oh my goodness. Like, so that was very interesting. But I watched him, you know, change and grow close to the Lord. And I started seeing a Christian counselor anyway because of my baggage. I knew being a mom, I needed to do that.
Which is wonderful, Sarah, because even back then, that would have been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that is so much more readily available, and we have a better understanding of why we need, you know, to do mental health checks. And but 20 years ago, like, that's to me very courageous of you to do that, because I don't know that that was.
Well, I had, believe it or not, I had been in therapy all my life, like many times. It was just, some were Christian therapists, some were not. But this was me just being prideful and saying, Sarah's got to do what Sarah's got to do. And but when this particular therapist brought up Jesus, I found it very hard to go there. I felt a huge wall. Like, we can talk about anything, but don't bring up Jesus. He's too good for me. I'm a sinner. He needs to stay over there. Because of my guilt and shame. And even though the therapist showed me scriptures that he said, you know, took care, you know, Jesus on the cross took care of my guilt and shame, at the time I wasn't, and I'm getting, believe me, we're getting to hearing from God, but hang with me one more second. But I just couldn't believe it. What I eventually learned, though, is that our lives are about Christ, and they're not so much about us. And anyway, you know, there's a lot to unpack with the Lord. But
one, he's always available.
Well, I went through like a year and a half of this therapist just going back to me and the Lord and going back to me and the Lord and going back to me. And he was like, do you realize the Lord forgave you? And for, are you sorry? I was like, yes, I'm desperately sorry. I wish I could. Yes, I fully repent. I hate what I did. And he was like, okay, so you believe he forgave you? Yes, but I don't forgive me. That was huge. I said, I don't forgive what I did. I should have known better. The shoulda, coulda, woulda. And so, long story short, here we go. I was actually, this is huge. I was
pushing. This is like my favorite part of the story.
This is a pivotal moment for sure. I was pushing my daughters, Carly and Josie, in a stroller.
And they're 2 years old.
They're 2 years old. And we're, it's, you know, we're down the street. And I kid you not, Barbara, I'm getting chills. I was pushing them in the stroller and I literally heard the Holy Spirit, like he was speaking through the sun, say, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, I could cry. I want everybody to just pause for a second and put yourself in that place. Like, I think that is so incredible.
Yes.
To imagine it. Like, I know you can replay it in your head and how beautiful it is, but I think that is a picture that all of us can see doing something that we would normally do, you know, caring for our children or driving to work or caring for an aged parent, and that the Lord could be revealing himself to us.
Yes. And I'll tell you, it didn't go very well because I knew it was the Lord. Yeah. I knew that it was the Lord. And I
he
used a phrase that I had said to him. Yes. All the time. Mm-hmm. Every day. And I just remember just gripping, you know, the stroller and mm-hmm. really hard. And I literally gritted my teeth and I said, I can't do this right now. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I said to him. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I got home that evening got home from the walk that evening. I was making their dinner and I felt it in my heart. I remember hearing the news on the TV mm-hmm. that my daughters are sitting in their chairs at the counter, they're eating. And as I'm maneuvering back and forth around the kitchen, in my heart, I felt like, why won't you talk to me?
Mm.
And I mean, if there had been a fly on the wall, I mean, my daughters probably thought I was crazy, but I literally just slammed my fist down on the counter. Mm. And I go, please, I don't want to talk right now. I don't want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I knew he was on to me. Mm-hmm. But again, I had been going through some serious therapy about releasing guilt and shame. And I wouldn't release it. Mm-hmm. But then that night, Barbara, I was going to sleep. It got to be about 11 o'clock. And I was probably about fully asleep. And I have this vision mm-hmm. of Jesus on the cross. And it's chaotic. It's loud. I remember it like I was there. Like it was cold and cloudy. Mm-hmm. And it was rowdy. And I can see the other two crosses on either side of him, but they're kind of like shaded. But I can kind of see Jesus. And this part I've never really shared with very many people, but I remember seeing, I don't know if it was a Roman soldier or what, but they were picking up rocks and throwing it at mm-hmm. him. Now, I don't remember that in the Bible, but that's what I saw. And I remember making my way through the crowd and I was knocking the rocks out of their hands and saying, stop it, stop it. Leave him alone, leave him alone. And at that point, I look up and I'm at the feet of Jesus and he's literally looking down at me.
Wow.
And he says, this is why I did what I did, was for your guilt and shame. This is why I went to the cross, Sarah, was for you.
And if he only went to the cross for us, Sarah, that would be enough. But what you just described is not only did he go to the cross for us, then he also is pursuing us.
Exactly.
You would like to think that we, somewhere in our flesh, we could at least be like, okay, he went to the cross for us, therefore I can do this. But that's still not who, you know, who we are sometimes, or we haven't transformed to a point where we're there yet. And so how incredible is it to tell people, not only did he go to the cross for you, he is also going to pursue you into relationship with him.
Yes. Yes.
And pursuit means I desire to be
I desire with you. In spite. And I just, at this point, somehow I woke up and I just sat up in bed and I'm crying and I'm shaking and I'm looking around. It's dark in my room. I can look down the hall from my bed. The girls are still asleep. Ben was still awake watching TV in the front room and I'm just crying and I'm just shutting my eyes. And literally, like I said, like he was looking down at me saying, this is why I did what I did. And I just kept saying, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And basically, the last thing I recall is he literally said, I know. And until you release that guilt and shame, you're not going to be able to do for me. Like in other words, you can't be in, like, I understand you're sorry, but you can't be in ministry. You can't be productive if you hold on. You have to, that chain has to be broke.
Because you're carrying something that can't go with us.
And I just could not believe that this was making sense to me. And so I rolled right off the bed and just sobbed. And I just said over and over, Jesus, I'm coming back to you. I am coming back to you and I'm never going to let you go. I don't know if I will be perfect, but my mission is to study your word. I want to understand you more. Mm-hmm. And I love you so much and I will never let you go.
Yeah. You know, I think when I hear stories like this, Sarah, I think we do have a choice. And just the trajectory change in your family, who you are today, who your girls are today, who your grandkids are going to be one day was, I mean, could have been so different if you hadn't chosen to surrender.
Yes.
To that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So is there anything you want to tell us about, like, that was about 20 years ago? I mean, one thing I want our listeners to hear is, okay, you're testifying to who God is and you're testifying to the choices that you make and how he pursued you, but now you pursue him. Like, how do you posture yourself then to have this relationship with the Lord?
Well, one of the things, even though it was a, you know, a kumbaya moment, you know, it wasn't easy, even though I, you know, and of course I rushed back to the counselor's office and told him everything. So that was great. But it did come at a little bit of a cost. No one had really talked to me about the difference in conviction and condemnation. So the enemy would try to replay things of my past, and I didn't, you know, or if I did make a little mistake, like if I raised my voice, I was having a really tough time. But then understanding there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So, you know, if I fouled up or sinned or something after that, it was that still small voice that says, you know, I might have done something a little different. I don't know if I would have taken that route. I was able to embrace that now and not look at it as condemnation. I looked at it. This is so important. Listen to this, Barbara. When the Lord would correct me, and to this day, with conviction, I grab it, I nurture on it, and I try my best to go, okay, I'm going to go run and tell them I'm sorry. And I'm so excited to do it because the Bible says he disciplines those he loves. So when he convicts me, I know he's doing it to help me grow in him.
Right. Well, and as I've kind of grown in that too, I now know, he's not asking me to do anything alone.
Right.
So if he convicts me, I know this is, I don't have to go apologize to this person on my own. He's going with me. If he convicts me to make, a different appointment or to change, you know, anything that can kind of be uncomfortable, there's this piece that, well, I'm not doing that alone. He's going with me. So
yes,
that's just who he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wish scriptures like Isaiah 41:10, when I thought the world was against me, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And Romans 8:27 says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
I love it when God's word tells us that he's going to strengthen us, because I like control also. I'm not proud of it, but like, but I need to be reminded often that it's his strength and not my own. And so I love every time I hear that in scripture, like, I will strengthen you, that we can depend on him to be that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I think before too, just reading scripture, it was like, I was just reading words and, oh, that's nice. But to really read the scripture and know that it really is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, that it's something I can go to the bank on my worst day. If the scripture says what it says, I can bank on that.
And it's timeless.
It's timeless.
Because it spoke to you when you were a little girl, and those same words are speaking to you now.
Yes.
Which is also beautiful and incredible. Well, Sarah, I am hoping that you can close our time by telling me some words or some phrases that you would use that describe God's voice. Now, after this journey that you're on, so now, like, this relationship, you've heard his voice often, or you've heard a thought often, or a scripture is recalled to you often. That's how he's speaking to you. What does that sound like?
Well, first, I just want to point out that it's extremely important that I want the listeners here to understand that anytime I've wondered if I've heard from the Lord, which is mm-hmm. not all the time,
mm-hmm. right?
That was a pretty lengthy conversation he and I had that mm-hmm. one night, or that whole day, if you want to be honest. But I always, whether I feel like he's asking me to do something, I always want to back it up with scripture. Mm-hmm. Is this something the Bible says is true?
Right.
Because the Lord's never going to tell you to make a choice or do something contrary to his word. Mm-hmm. That may just be my feelings.
That's right.
That are really, really strong, or my impulses. Mm-hmm. So, but if it's contrary to his word, then I know for a fact that wasn't from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, first of all, for me now, I would say he doesn't speak in long sentences. Mm-hmm. It's maybe just two or three short words, mm-hmm. you know, and it could be when I'm out for a jog. It could be mm-hmm. just going from room to room. And sometimes I'll just pause and it's mm-hmm. like, okay. So, yeah, but I would say his voice, it's just like a passing wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not long and drawn out, and it's not silly and goofy. It's just very intimate, it's very real, it's very timely, it's precious.
I would say he's been very steady for you.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Well, I'm so thankful that you were willing to be so transparent and so vulnerable about your story. I think, will you just tell everyone, what did you say on our way in today? Do you remember what you said about your story?
Oh, yes. As we were walking up the steps, I was looking around and I was just remembering there was one day as I was probably 19 or 20 in the midst of just sin and loneliness and depression and suicidal thoughts. And I was thinking about some of the bad choices I had made. And I remember walking up the steps of my apartment, and this was truly the enemy, because I heard, you know, if anyone mm-hmm. ever found out about mm-hmm. XYZ,
mm-hmm.
you would be destroyed. Mm-hmm. It would absolutely destroy you. That is your best kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened on more than one or two occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, let me tell you, when you're already feeling down and then the enemy's like, oh, and by the way, you better keep that a secret, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because if anybody knew, it would you're already down. Mm-hmm. It would destroy you.
Yeah.
And here I am today, even though I didn't go into details of my story mm-hmm. with you, right. but today I have absolutely no problem giving my mm-hmm. full, complete testimony, mm-hmm. because it seems to encourage and touch so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had women in their 70s and 80s that mm-hmm. hear my story and they start bawling.
Yeah.
Because they see that the freedom in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and hear somebody's saying something that maybe they experienced or mm-hmm. went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I'm giving other people a voice. And so what Satan said to me that was intended to harm me,
mm-hmm.
I've actually been able to use, you know, beauty for ashes.
So the people listening can't see where we are today, but we're actually in this room of our church where we had to climb up some stairs to get here. And Sarah says to me, there was a time in my life I never thought that my story would influence other people. And yet here, that's exactly what God has done today, is
Amen.
He is giving people an example of, you know, he is a redeeming God. He does bring beauty from ashes. And your story is going to carry hope to people who have either felt like they're not worthy enough, or maybe they just haven't been open to the pursuit. And I think your story is going to greatly impact other women to hear the voice of God. So thank you for being here today. And thank you for being my friend and saying yes to things that are,
Barbara,
you know, maybe not in your normal week.
It is a privilege and it is an honor.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.